The lovely and talented one, Leslie Visser, who joins us here on the program.
Well, here's a funny story. This one only happened to me because of you, Jeff DeForest. So I go up. The interview was at Dan Jansen's charity golf tournament up in Charlotte, North Carolina. And people there are just astonishing. I mean, there's, Dan Jansen, Olympic gold medalist, Mike Ruzioni, Do Believe in Miracles, Raleigh Fingers, Brett Saberhagen, Jim McMahon. And in front of all these people, Mario Lemieux, right? Only one of the three greatest hockey players of all time. In front of all these people, Mario Lemieux says to me, aren't you on some radio show in South Florida? I was horrified.
You'd have to cringe.
That's great.
The best way to kick off your day is with Defo plus Luby. We now return to the Defo show.
She's got style. She's got grace. She's a winner.
A little mixed bag of weather out there as this South Florida day gets underway. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, a.k.a. Luby Brown with you. 940 wins, 1230 the zone, and around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Speaking of Mario Lemieux, I think it's time to drop the gloves, is it not? This is about to get crazy. We welcome to the show a very distinguished guest, Hall of Famer, NFL Hall of Famer, virtually every Hall of Fame, pioneered everything for women in sports, as well, sports broadcasting, and a lot of doors have opened up since, including Kim Ng. We welcome the lovely and talented Leslie Visser to the program. Leslie, how are you?
Well, good morning to both of you. But, Defo, I begin with some very, very disturbing news. I heard that Godfrey Lovejoy is on a one-way ticket on a northbound train. Is this true?
Well, I hope it's true. I mean, that'd be great.
Yeah, he's trying to catch on in New York now. Which, with the Giants winning, that leaves only one job, but it's a beauty.
Oh, okay, because I heard he might be stopping in Jacksonville.
That would be a more fitting market, I think, for his level of talent, Godfrey Lovejoy. I knew you had issues with this cat for some reason. I don't know what it is. I mean, he's got a great contract. Did he have your agent negotiate this deal with Brian Olsen? Because it's impenetrable. I mean, there's no way to knock him out of the deal.
No, I think that finally Brian told him that, Godfrey, there is an emptiness to you. There is a depression. You are in your own twilight. Low self-esteem.
Yeah, I felt that way. I mean, as I'm in the twilight of this broadcasting career. All right, you pioneered virtually every move. Every female broadcaster is always more than happy to pay homage to the fact that you put up with the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, which was good fortune for you, but, I mean, it was a somewhat unaccepted role at the time when you took over on the sidelines there on NFL games. It seemed unheard of to have a female in that capacity. What, if any, of this is Kim Ng facing as the first ever general manager, person in that position, female variety, in any North American professional sport? Is she facing any of the same things, or... have some of those things passed by now?
Well, first of all, I love hearing you say that about Kim Ng. The first thing you have to know for how big this is, she got a text yesterday from Michelle Obama.
Wow.
Nice, that's big.
I mean, this is, it's not just historic, though, with Kim. I've known her for about 15 years since she was with the Red Sox, Ned Colletti, as Joe Torre was leaving, she was with Ned Colletti. But she, it isn't just historic, it's smart. She's been around baseball, you guys probably know. She's been around now for more than 30 years. She's, her resume, you know, is so strong. She has a great baseball mind, works incredibly hard. She's worked in everything from scouting to player negotiations. How about, I think she told me she was 26. When she was with the White Sox, and she presented salary arbitration against Scott Boras for pitcher Alex Fernandez, and she won for the White Sox. So she has talent, and I think she's a perfect fit with the Marlins. You know, she's just, think of how many of that front office that she's worked with. She worked with, of course, Jeter. She might have even done Jeter's 10-year contract with the Yankees. But, of course, she worked with Jeter. She worked with Mattingly with the Dodgers. She worked with, I think Trey Hillman might have been Mattingly's assistant coach. Gary Denbo was with the Yankees. So she's coming right into a group that she knows very well.
The image of the GM certainly has changed over the years. I remember I had very early on in my days with the Fontana Herald News, which I know you greatly appreciate. I did an interview with Buzzy Bavasi, who was the GM of the Angels at the time. And he fit the bill, right? The guy with the cigar that was burning in the ashtray as he was doing the interview and the suspenders on and a bow tie and, you know, tough-talking street guy. Now, the position has evolved, and a couple of things here. I mean, how did that affect you? I mean, do you still feel it when you see these kind of Ruth Bader Ginsburg type of female breakthroughs in different jobs? And two, I mean, I guess, you know, people will be looking to see what kind of instincts a woman would have in this spot. And it's possible because she grew up playing stickball that maybe she has, you know, even better instincts than some of the traditional and stayed and tried kind of old school guys.
Well, the days Susan Waldman and I, of course, so celebrate Kim. And yesterday we were talking about how the days, what you said about Buddy Bavasi, that to get information, of course, you just have to go to the bar with these guys and then throw your drink out in the potted plant. You know,
I love that.
You'd still have your mind working. But I think there are now four women assistant GMs, well, now three after Kim got this job. But like many women now that you just don't hear of, Kim, she's been ready for a decade. She interviewed with the Mets and the Pirates. I know the Mets and the Padres and the Angels. So she has been on deck for a job like this, which so many women are. And, you know, you guys have heard me say it's, people aren't born, men aren't born with a genetic blueprint of how to recognize a safety blitz or how to identify talent. That's something when you're a child you have a passion for and suddenly you deliver on the promise.
Yeah, and you have to figure Mike Tannenbaum had a job doing this. So obviously the qualifications don't necessarily run too deep as far as instincts go, as evidenced by that $150 million he gave to Mark Sanchez after the butt fumble. Leslie Visser, the lovely and talented one with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, the iHeartRadio app. It's always a pleasure. A couple of passings, people that you were familiar with. I got to know the one gentleman casually, of course, through his racetrack instincts, and that was the Golden Boy, Paul Hornung. And this is really old school stuff because he was one of those guys, like you just mentioned, that you'd have to go to the bar and hang out with to find out what was going on with the Packers. And Tommy Heinsohn, both passing away last week. I know you were very close to Tommy Heinsohn, the real epitome of the old Celtic Red Auerbach work ethic, and a guy, I think only the Duke had as efficient a hook shot out of the corner as Tommy Heinsohn did. And then Hornung, I know you had to run into him many times, probably in your Kentucky Derby coverage, even more so than football. It was just a blast to be around.
Yeah, both of them were, you know, fairly important in my life. But, yeah, that running hook shot was something that not many people had seen, but Tommy had a Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Remember one time, Cousy, because, as you know, Heinsohn loved to shoot the ball, and one time Cousy said of him, "One thing I'll give Tommy, he never shot without the ball." But, yeah, I remember, of course, I would see Paul at derbies, and he'd be around Green Bay Packer games, and Notre Dame, when Boston College had the big game in 93 where they beat Notre Dame 41-39, in case you don't remember, David Gordon threw the uprights. And Paul sent me a blanket from that game, Notre Dame-Boston College, with a note that said, "You can have the damn thing." But, yeah, we loved him in horse racing. Of course, you saw him. You spent time with him, too, at Gulfstream. And he was really a character. I think about the NFL, the evolution of the NFL, that there was Paul Hornung, who was banned from baseball, right? He was suspended for a year over gambling. And now we have a team, the Raiders, in Las Vegas, and their radio play-by-play guy is Brent Musburger, who runs a gambling company in Las Vegas.
Yes.
So we've come a long way. And Tommy, you know, I got to know Tommy pretty well. He was Dick Stockton's partner for those Lakers-Celtic series. And I remember Tommy, he was just so original. He smoked quite a bit, which a lot of people knew. And when we would fly from Boston to L.A. for the games, Tommy would take a flight to Chicago so he could get off and smoke. he was who he was. But, yeah, two really giants in the world of sports.
Great stuff, as always. The lovely and talented Leslie Visser with us here on 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone. And you're going to break your maiden at the Funky Biscuit? Is that on for sure? Because you did lose that bet
on Syracuse,
BC. Now, this is a great payoff for you. It's like if you win, you win, and if you lose, you still win, right out of Raging Bull.
Well, it's going to be fantastic. The planner, Mary Finizzi, we're already deciding. Do we have to get out, like, our old fringe, suede fringe jackets? Like, what is the attire for this?
Casual, whatever you really want to wear. I mean, if you're in a tie-dyed shirt, they're not going to throw you out of there. But, you know, people dress like they would go to a club of some sort, very casually so.
Well, I do have some old bohemian dresses that when I went to see Springsteen in the 70s, is that kind of the
wear one? One of those pioneer caps so people will recognize you, too. That would be great.
Pioneer caps.
Especially in honor of the Eng hiring here.
She left. She hung up.
Anyway, maybe we'll see her. Maybe we'll see her Friday. Very insightful. Good stuff there, huh? Kim Eng. And, of course, Tommy Heinsohn, who Leslie was very close to. Paul Horning was a blast to hang out with. Any of you old track guys that saw Horning up? I used to see him at the bar outside when Gulfstream Park, the previous configuration of Gulfstream Park. That goes back a long way, Defoe. Not that far back, Luby. Come on. I mean, we're talking about what? When did they transform the place into what it looks like now? 12 years ago? Is it that far back?
I don't guess. It's been a while. I mean, ever since I've known you, it's been pretty much what it is now. So
a young Polyman was running around there as the right-hand man for Scott Savin, who was running the place. Incredible. So, that was a while back. But used to see Horning. They had an outside bar there on the backside where the panic area was, and it was right after you got through the clubhouse entrance. You'd be at this real nice outside bar, and you'd see a lot of, celebrity stature people there. And Horning was one of them, and he was always holding court. And, you know, guys are a different sort at the track. They're just ready to let it loose and have a good time because you're amongst friends, my friend. All right, we'll come back with more. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitzer. Thanks to the lovely and talented one, Leslie Visser. Always a great distinction having her on the show. Do you line up with the chucker if you know you're going to keep the court, Luby? That would be the question of the day in relation to this James Harden. That'll be our treatment of the James Harden story. Possibly going to the Brooklyn Nets, which seems... How much influence, right? Didn't Steve Nash have to ask Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving about whatever deals they've already done with the Brooklyn Nets and how they're going to run practice?
No, I think it's spectacular. I love it. Well, especially since you have a first-year coach that the players have openly said is not the coach. We're all the coach. I don't even know what that means. That's without James Harden. So yeah. I really look forward to that disaster. I think that would be so fun to watch how the hell they pull that one off.
If Chick Hearn was around today, he'd be describing Harden as yo-yoing up and down.
Exactly.
Which is exactly what he does with the ball there in the same spot for about 23.7 seconds. Then he steps back, falls down, nails a three off the backboard, and goes to the stripe. I'm not sure that's going to fly with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, but who am I to decide that, right? Maybe they can all capitulate to each other's greatness and make something amazing happen, and Brooklyn will be a champion for what, the next 2 or 3 years? That'll be kind of interesting. Our connections then with the great Iron Eagle will be even more valuable and meaningful than they already are.
Who we'll be having on Thursday morning. And if you know what's funny, the call of the weekend. We should have assumed it because he's pretty much the number one team now on CBS.
Yes. No, so, Nance, he was hearing footsteps. Did you catch it? He was way off his game on the Masters.
See,
he's hearing footsteps.
Did you see? Well, we've all seen that play now, the Hail Mary. You know who was on the call? Because I finally heard
Iron
it
Eagle?
Yesterday.
Wow.
And out of nowhere, I'm like, is that Iron? And then, of course, unlike Al, you know, who, when he did that, Do You Believe in Miracles call, like you've said for years, he wrote it down somewhere for sure.
He
like
wrote that on his
Al Michaels. He had planned that call. Yeah. You can tell Iron Eagle, in the middle of the call, comes up with an amazing line. It's Murray magic that for sure was natural because, of course, he's Iron Eagle and there's no one like Iron Eagle.
He's great. He's brilliant.
And he'll be on with us Thursday morning.
And in there with Charles Davis, one of our other buddies here on the show, although a less frequent visitor.
Yes.
Charles Davis, because he's getting Romo money now, right?
Honestly.
Did you tell that was what they were talking about? Yeah. Romo money. Oh, my God. See, now we do the same incessant stream of babble here on the show, but we're not getting Romo money.
No.
Maybe that's a good thing, right? Because it makes you less expendable in this industry. That's
sure.
For sure.
I mean, 1 year of his money, I don't have to work again.
What are we paying those guys? Yeah, I mean, it's a bloodbath out there, people. All right, 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. 866-801-0940 if you'd like to join us here on the show. Luby Brown also theorizing the Bucks will do anything right now. They'll bring back Oscar Robertson if they have to appease the Greek. Is Pat Riley on the mind of the people in the front office? Here's one of those topical things for you, Luby. Total sports talk speculation. Is there a picture of Pat Riley and or a voodoo doll? You would think the Riley picture would be on a dartboard in the Bucks office. Because imagine he's probably sending the Greek stone crabs right now. I don't want to imply that Pat Riley's hampering.
No, he's not doing anything. He's following the rules. He's leaving it alone. He's very confident in his team and what additions they can make that are hopefully a one-year basis addition.
Pictures of bikini-clad babes sitting under palm trees eating coconuts out of the shell. No?
God.
Grass skirts and a lot of suntan lotion.
You have them tampering.
No? I mean, come on, man. The guy's in Milwaukee, for God's sake.
That's all he should have to do. He shouldn't have to do any tampering. Just let them play. Let him live in that weather compared to what we have here.
The easiest player to recruit would have to be a Timberwolves player. Would you agree with that, Mike Luby Lubitz, a Minnesota Timberwolves player?
Well, that's what Jimmy Butler was. He went from Minnesota to Philly, two areas that have probably not great weather and are very tough cities to be in. And it was like, you really want to do this? Like, hello?
Towns, has a snowshoe commercial. That's
exactly.
It.
He
shot it in the summertime and he needed it. Chains for your car, you know, tires. All right. 866-801-0940. You want fresh walleye? We got it. I'm Carl Anthony Towns. 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. We'll take your calls the rest of the way. Love to hear from you here on the show. Still very happy about that call from George yesterday that he was involved in some synagogue that was part of a warehouse, off of a Teaneck Armory, where they were doing professional wrestling, just like they were at my Belmar Jewish Center. My friend Zach Galbahe, he listens to the show on occasion. He could vouch for that. I think he was there the night Raka, with a flying head scissors, claimed the heavyweight championship of the world right there in synagogue. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Hey, where'd you win the title there? Raka? The Garden? Sunnyside? Madison Square?
Oh,
the Belmar Jewish Center. I beat the Iron Sheik. 2 out of 3 falls, television time limit. The belt changed hands. That's all that mattered. What are we talking about here?
It's 9:23. Gordon Soley there.
Soley was a rabbi. He put a yarmulke on the guy. All of a sudden, he's saying, Baruch Adonai, this is a situation with the sheik. Greatest marquee ever. I mean, I mean this in all sincerity.
I hate that you didn't have picture phones back then because I would for sure post that everywhere.
Yom Kippur tickets on sale. Pro Wrestling Tonight. Belmar Jewish Center. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
It was good pro wrestling, too. It's 9:23. What were those, Ron?
Well, the first one was a pig, and after that was a sheep, lamb.
Okay, all right. Let's try some more here. Ron McGill, ladies and gentlemen. It's like doing a Lebertard show.
Can I go back to my show, please?
No!
It's a cow. Wow, this is really the best thing.
I thought I was going to have an honest sports conversation.
What sports conversation?
Honest. Okay, I'm going to give you a sound now. You ready?
Yes.
It goes, starts like...
Oh,
I like that one.
I know
that
what
would
it
be
is.
An ibis.
That's a gator.
That's a bull gator after it eats an ibis.
Yeah. Oh.
There is nothing better than Defo. Welcome back to The Defo Show.
These eyes. That segment was inspired by the Hurricanes and the Gators who played last year. Seems like centuries ago, doesn't it, Luby?
I'm going to say, I'm like, I think that was last year.
We were in the temporary studios there from the very posh confines. You've been operating out of there for the last 7 months during this pandemic while I've been cruising at home here in the Barefoot Beach Villas Verbal Laboratories. Very posh setup I have going here myself. But nonetheless, yeah, it seems like centuries ago. And I remember we were sitting, they were doing some work revamping the studio that we normally operate out of. And we were in the back there by the FM guys. And so we ran into Castronova, Paul Castronova, and he's got Ron McGill, and they're both Gators. So we decided to try and get something going there, the old hostility between the Gators and the Canes. And Ron McGill, to reduce Ron McGill to identifying farm animals, that may be among our lowest maneuvers ever here on the show. He did a nice job of deflecting the nonsense, the insanity of that whole concept, didn't he? Farm animals. Ron McGill, one of the any kind of animal life. I mean, a feather is on the ground. He could tell you that's a North American yuccatash or whatever it is. You know, he knows every animal, every detail about him, right? He's not just a guy like me that goes there, sees the Galapagos turtles, and then tells a five-year-old Jesse, let's go home. That was a lot of walking there, that Metro Zoo. Did you ever take a kid to the Metro Zoo or walk around there yourself?
No, I went as a child. My grandparents lived like across the street from it.
Oh, that's right. You're young enough to have gone as a kid yourself.
Yes, I went not across the street. I'm sorry. My grandparents lived across the street from the Miami Sea Aquarium. They lived close enough to the Metro Zoo because they were in the Gables that I went as a child. And then I also, when I used to do stuff with Mega, before it was 2949, when it was Mega 949, I used to do a lot of promotions. I did, I think, once a month.
Down at Metro Zoo?
For like six months where I was at Metro. Oh, no, it's a drive at Metro Zoo, which was actually, it was an interesting gig. It was just a pain in the ass to get there and back.
Conceptually brilliant. I don't know how it's changed over the years. It's been a long time since I've been down there. But I used to take Jesse there on a regular basis because, you know, I would be, you know, trying to find anything a little bit different out of the norm there. But it was a long way between exhibits. That's what I remember. Like a lot of schlepping. So if you were carrying
a kid. A lot of walking.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you had to be in shape to schlep around Metro Zoo and see any more than like one or two exhibits, which the Galapagos turtles were always the first thing, right? These giant freaking turtles. How great were they? They were right in the front there, so you didn't have to go too far from the place where you paid. I just paid an enormous amount of money. Where's the next exhibit? No, it was great. And Ron McGill does a brilliant job, but to have him doing farm animal identification before a gator game shows you the levels that we will stoop to on this show. All right, so we're going to take you up until 10 o'clock. We'll grab some of your telephone calls if you'd like. 866-801-0940. 866-801-0940. I think people are in stunned disbelief, Luby, that the Miami Dolphins are 6-3. I really believe that.
Well, it's just funny. I think it's Harvey talked about it. The pandemic has been so bad for so many, so tough. I don't want to say bad. So tough in so many areas of life. But it's been a godsend for South Florida's teams. This time last year, all of our teams were in. All of them. We were like, what the hell do we do? All of them. This time this year, they all will be playoff teams. I mean, the Dolphins, unless they have a ridiculous collapse, are on pace to make the playoffs. Like, that's crazy to think in 1 year's time, we can do a 180 with all of our teams.
I don't think that if it was announced that Elway had decided he was going to start at quarterback at his age and afflicted with COVID-19, that the line would move 3 points, unless, of course, it was influenced by the fact that you're following. What did you do? Put this out on Instagram or something, Luby, to your millions of followers?
Yeah, but you would think it'd go
the
other way.
You believe
the
line was bogus at Pick'em, Denver Broncos and the Dolphins this week.
Yeah, but like
I went to 3 points. 3 points, a swing of 3 points in one day.
But that's weird, though. Like my endorsing the Dolphins should make it go the other way.
Exactly.
Like everyone should jump on the Broncos. Like I didn't realize people jumped on the Dolphins. Like I mean, I don't have a great track record of my own teams.
It startled me this morning. I was looking for the Fins in the underdog column, and there they were. As the favorite on the road by 3 points over a Denver Bronco team that may not have a good record and may not be very good. Your boy Drew Locke threw 4 picks last week. That was ugly.
Yeah.
right? I mean, so yeah, Elway may be starting. It's possible. Maybe. Maybe we're going against Elway. He's not allowed to play. He's not allowed to go near the team. But nonetheless, he will be starting at quarterback because what the heck? He may as well own the club. All right, 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. 866-801-0940. Luby Brown, of what significance is the Chris Paul deal? He's bouncing around to a lot of places, but the Phoenix Suns are a very promising young team, are they not? How does Chris Paul, does he lend that level of maturity that you need to get them over the top? Because they were really coming on, those games in the bubble.
The only problem is the West is loaded. That's the thing is, that would be a bigger deal if it wasn't the fact that the Warriors are getting both Klay Thompson and Curry back and have the number two pick, that the Clippers still have that roster and they should be bitter as hell. So you would think that they're going to actually be hungry this time around instead of whatever the hell that was last year. And the Lakers, David's opted out, but he's going to do it to get a long-term extension. And they're trying to get Schroeder, who's a really good backup point guard. Like, that's a problem. And the Nuggets were in the conference finals and only going to get better. That's a problem for the Suns. They played really well in the bubble. And they're going to get better, but where do you move? Like, the Jazz will improve. Like, there's a lot of teams in the West. Like, it's a logjam. That's the only issue. I think it's a great move for them. I think they need veteran leadership, and Chris Paul showed he could still play. I just don't know who goes down, like, who falls off.
If ever they needed Hubie Brown on the draft coverage, it's this year.
Oh, yeah.
The NBA draft.
No one knows who the hell anyone is.
Where Hubie loves every pick all the way down to number 60 in the second round. Oh, my God. What a move by these guys. It's just incredible.
I mean, there's a guy from Israel.
Can you believe the Lakers?
There's a guy from Israel. There's a guy that was at Dayton. And Dayton was, like, in the way for a 2 seed if the tournament actually happened. Like, it's crazy. Like, the other ball from never played in America. Like, it's a weird draft.
Oh, he looks very interesting, LaMelo Ball. And it's even more interesting that his old man isn't popping off every day about how great he is, because he actually does look, I hate to borrow the word from my dear friend, the great Al Bernstein, but this is a very intriguing fight between two very intriguing fighters, my friend. LaMelo Ball looks pretty good.
Yep.
LeVar Ball hasn't been anywhere to be seen or heard, right? I mean, every network wanted, this guy was on more than virtually anybody, wasn't he? Dr. Fauci didn't get as much TV time as the old man did when Lonzo Ball was coming out of college, and it looked like he might have as many as 3 kids that were going to be in the NBA. I guess the other kid was also playing some European ball, but LaMelo Ball is like 6'7". I didn't realize it. I thought he was a short kid. Grow like... Yeah.
He was like 6'2", 6'3", then, and remember, that was a few years ago. We saw him when he was like a freshman. And that was like 2-3 years ago, and you know these kids have these growth spurts where it's like 3-4 inches.
Supposedly insane court awareness and a brilliant passer, in addition to maybe being a better scorer than Lonzo Ball, who had that awkward shot and still has yet to prove that he can knock down the jumper consistently enough to be a big help there with that Pelican team. All right, anyway, that's Luby Brown tomorrow. And the interesting thing, you need Hubie Brown on the broadcast. Susie Colbert does a very nice job, whatever it is that she does, but she really gets into this bachelorette type of stuff on the draft coverage if she's involved in the interviews after the guy comes off the stage, which won't, I guess that won't be happening, right? They're going to have to do this virtually.
Yep.
Nobody's getting together for the NBA draft. Not even Elgin Baylor. Did Elgin Baylor check out? I want to say yes. Elgin Baylor?
Yeah, I think he passed recently. Wasn't that was like a thing.
Yeah. Boy, he was just symbolic of futility as the guy that was sitting there on the draft lottery show when he was with the Clippers as their GM, and they would routinely get hosed. I mean, get the worst possible result. they'll be picking fourth. I tell you what, they had every shot to get the number one pick. What a difference that's going to make, right? It's a difference between Kareem and Neil Walk, that kind of thing. All right, coming back with more in a moment. Luby Brown, though, tomorrow. You better have your mock draft together, Luby. You're really
failing. I'm working on it. I know. I'm cutting it close. I know.
I mean, so far you can't even nail down who you're going to put at number one there. To the Timberwolves, which is a kiss of death, is it not?
Pretty much.
Imagine the young lads going to Minnesota, and Susie Colbert grabs them off the stage and says, can you tell us how it feels to continue your journey in an ice-cold, bleeping place? She never throws that in. You'll have frostbite on your eyebrows. I mean, unbelievable. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Where they never win. It's 9:39.
What kind of question is that?
What kind of a question is that?
How could you ask me a question like that?
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It's time for today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the law offices of Jarrett Spingarn. If you're injured in an accident, call 833-HIRE-JARRETT. That's 833-447-3527. Log on to HireJarrett.com, where it's not just business, it's personal. Today we congratulate Dustin Johnson on his incredible Masters win, his second major in a career where he figures to tally maybe a couple more, if not more than that. Johnson turned pro in 2007 and has enjoyed a phenomenal career. Today's HireJarrett.com trivia challenge question is, at what school did Johnson play his collegiate golf? Was it Stanford, Coastal Carolina, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, or NC State? That answer in a moment. For Jarrett Spingarn, your injury is not just business, it's personal. After suffering devastating injuries in a near-fatal car crash at 18 and dealing with unjust insurance companies in his own case, Jarrett decided to dedicate his life's work to help the injured. No law firm is better equipped to handle or understand your case than the law offices of Jarrett Spingarn. If you're a victim of a car crash, pedestrian accident, slip and fall, spinal cord injury, wrongful death, or medical malpractice, log on to HireJarrett.com. That's HireJarrett.com. Or call 833-HIRE-JARRETT. And instead of getting hustled by your attorney, get the one firm that's going to hustle for you. HireJarrett has the resources, the record of success, and over 1,000 winning cases worth of experience. No injury is minor when it's yours. Call 24/7 for a no-obligation free evaluation of your case. You pay nothing unless you win. Don't let your case become just another number. Log on to HireJarrett.com or call 833-HIRE-JARRETT and see what a difference personalized service can make. Jarrett Spingarn has been in your shoes. It changed his life. Let the law offices of Jarrett Spingarn help change yours. Dustin Johnson began his golf career humbly enough, playing collegiately at Coastal Carolina before turning pro 13 years ago. That's today's mini trivia challenge, brought to you by the law offices of Jarrett Spingarn. For all personal injury matters, and remember, if you don't win, you don't pay 1 cent. That's right, you pay nothing. Log on to HireJarrett.com or call 833-HIRE-JARRETT. That's 833-447-3527.
Either way, if they can get the right guy to fall, like, could be a coup. So there's a few guys around that area that actually could be really good if they get the right guy, honestly.
It's now time for The Defoe Show.
You'll be hearing a lot of that tomorrow, that's for sure. As Luby Brown will take center stage, the NBA draft tomorrow on the program. How in-depth can we be about that, Luby? Are you going to do some research?
We're going to have Scoop Skolnick on to talk about the Heat and NBA free agency. I mean, maybe he can make up some draft stuff.
Is Pat Riley's picture on a dartboard in the offices of the Milwaukee Bucks executives? As they were having their feet put to the fire by the Greek. How often have you heard this? It's cliche for an athlete that has a situation where he's lame duck maybe for another year, although still going to play. And the athlete who is facing the clear-cut option of free agency, it's staring him in the face. In the NBA, we know that you can force that to happen even sooner than later. And the Greek says,
it depends how they do in the offseason. We'll make an assessment in a little while.
What do you think? I mean, they're scrambling like maniacs, are they not? They're trying to do everything in their power.
Yes, they are.
They're trying to trade for Kareem.
Interesting, and I wonder if it works.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Pat Riley, is he the instigator of all of this scrambling on the part of the Milwaukee Bucks? How about that? I'm telling you, that's got to be the easiest recruiting thing. It's kind of like we were talking about earlier. If you were recruiting against Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech and you're at the University of Miami for the same kid, what do you have to do, really? I mean, nothing, right? Just show them a couple of pictures of the quad there at the University of Miami and then some bleak picture of barren woods. And that's what you're looking at, right? I mean, your team is named for a wild turkey, for God's sake, Libby. Come on. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I think those people are consuming a lot of wild turkey also. It's 9:49. tomorrow. They'll have the NBA draft. That'll be conducted tomorrow night. Can we find another gem somehow, Luby?
You'd have the 20th pick.
As you say.
That's in gem territory.
If they can get a guy who can be a guy who falls to them as a guy.
Have a guy.
Maybe they can get a guy. I mean, yeah, we'll get that kind of analysis, in-depth analysis tomorrow. Brandon Lang tells me that he has a new project, Dancing with the Porn Stars, that he wants to discuss. And that'll be on Friday. He'll be with us on our Degenerate Friday, Dancing with the Porn Stars. That could be interesting. No, Luby? What do you think? A variation on a theme?
It definitely sounds worth watching. I don't know what channel it could be on, but it definitely sounds wherever it resides, it will get eyeballs.
At the least, there would be curiosity about the initial episode, no?
Oh, for sure.
Dancing with the Porn Stars. All right, so that's Brandon Lang's latest project. We'll ask him about that on Friday when we have a Deal Volkswagen Degenerate Friday. That'll be live from the Breezeway Bar at Gulfstream Park. And I can't believe we're like 2 weeks away from the opening of the championship meet at Gulfstream Park. There's still racing going on. Gulfstream Park West, that begins again tomorrow at noon and runs through Sunday and two more weeks of that. And then bingo, it's on, ladies and gentlemen, the championship meet. Nothing better than hanging out there at the stream during those months. It is, once again, it's my Ratso Rizzo dream. Hanging out there with the boys in the sunshine. Everybody else is freezing their fanny off around the country. More fan access at Gulfstream Park, and you can check out GulfstreamPark.com for more information. And don't forget about those 2021s rolling in there. I have to take a look at this again. I was amazed. Did you see, is there a new Jetta convertible that's out there? Is that some kind of limited edition?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it.
Well, if there is, I'm assuring you they have plenty of them available to you at Deal Volkswagen, 3601 Bird Road, right in the heart of the Gambles. And we always appreciate those people. Saturday we'll be at Hialeah Park in the Champions Simulcasting Room with the Hialeah Park Trivia Challenge. So a few show notes. And, of course, Thursday we go old school with Tony Segreto. Do you think Tony, he'll believe, actually, Tony, that there is a book coming out from Nick Saban titled It's All About the Kids. Nick Saban, It's All About the Kids. There will be people, I'm convinced now, after watching what's gone on in America over the last several years, there will be people that believe that Nick believes that, that are outside of the state of Alabama. Can you imagine that it's all about the kids? Looks ugly. UM setbacks here postponed. A lot of people on the UM roster with COVID-19 positives. That's not good. We wish all those people well. They were putting on a real nice show so far, the University of Miami football team, and we hope everybody gets better and they can get back on track. From Mike Luby Lubitz, thank you so much, people, for tuning in. A pleasure being with you. I'm Jeff DeForest, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 6 in the a.m. Thanks once again for joining us, people. It was great being with you. See you tomorrow at 6 as we leave you now that.
The time. Oh, and by the way, Elgin Baylor's alive. We pronounced him dead for some reason. Yeah, he's alive.
I agreed with you, Luby, just automatically. Well, I mean, in this year, if you said somebody checked out, you would have to say yes to that immediately as your knee-jerk reaction. All right, he sure was a devastating blow to the Clippers' chances every time he sat on the dais as the good luck charm. That was incredible. They could have put, like, a skull and crossbones up there. They would have had a better shot. It's 9:59.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Look what they've done to my soul.